Let's check in on the Yankees 3 weeks after the trade deadline. Their offense is starting to click. And a big part of why their offense is starting to click is why, Sean Morash?
Because Cody Bellinger's back and Luis Garcia Jr.'s hot and Jazz Chisholm got his head out of his rear end?
I think those are all very fair reasons, no doubt. The Luis Garcia addition, though, was money. And I think you kind of felt it at the time when you looked at the numbers he put up in the National League with the Washington Nationals. He's hitting over 300 as a Yankee. His OPS is over 800. He's hit 5 home runs. He reminds everybody of Robbie Cano.
Oh, yeah.
So far, and obviously, it's only 3.5 weeks. I get that. But as we check in on the early returns of the Brian Cashman trade deadline, Luis Garcia was a monstrous acquisition.
And a must acquisition, obviously, in hindsight, knowing what happened to Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
Monstrous. And at the time, it felt like, ah, oh, this buys them time while the offense struggles. No. This is an important, under-control bat that this team desperately needs.
Yeah, I look at it more as they needed a good bat,
yeah.
And he will force his way to play depending on where. That's everyone else. Like, Stanton being out obviously makes it likely Garcia plays first, Rice DHs. There's also the possibility that if Jazz Chisholm didn't start hitting, he has.
Yeah.
Garcia could go back and play his natural position at second base. So to me, the acquisition of Luis Garcia was great because he's a good bat. And you'll figure out the position stuff afterwards. But when you look at the state of this lineup, which over the last few days has made you feel like it's the late 90s offensively as opposed to 2026. I said late 90s. I kept it broad.
Oh, okay.
I kept it broad. I should have said.
That's a pro right there.
I should have said early 2000s.
Yeah.
Well, you don't win anything, but boy, you score a lot of runs. Garcia's been great. Elia Ramos, here's why it's too early to tell on him. His role is to be a guy who mashes lefties.
Yeah.
When he first got here, the Yankees were so beat up by injuries, he was being asked to do something he's not going to be asked to do, which is play every day.
And be put right in the 3 or 4 hole every day.
Yeah, that's not him.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't judge him based on that. But you know what else has happened to the Yankee offense, if we're going to be open and honest with ourselves?
Okay.
You want to do it? I'll do it.
They played crap pitching?
No. No. I'm not bringing down the competition.
All right, good.
I don't think that's right.
Thank you. We're off to a good start then.
The Astros may be an under 500 team, but they are a first place team.
Okay.
We need to show them respect. No, the answer is Austin Wells. Since the trade deadline, and I raised my hand, I'm one of them, I screamed into a microphone, boy, this is unacceptable that Brian Cashman didn't add a catcher. Sean Morash screamed into a microphone and
Absolutely.
Said, hey, it's unacceptable that Brian Cashman didn't add a catcher. And he gave his reasons. Wow, we have a lefty. We're not adding a lefty. He didn't add a catcher. And as mad as we were about it, the reasons we were mad is that Austin Wells wasn't a major league offensive player, which was backed out by the facts. I mean, the numbers were the numbers. Austin Wells wasn't a major league baseball player. Since the trade deadline, you want to hear his numbers?
Yeah.
You want me to give him to you exactly or just round it about?
Give me a roundabout. We know he's having a good, but give us the roundabout.
Good, because I forgot to write it down when I looked it up this morning. He's hitting 265.
Yeah.
He's got an OPS of 800. He's hit a home run.
Yep.
He's had a few extra base hits.
And late innings, he's had a couple big hits over the course of 3 weeks.
Yeah. He's been, you know what that is? That's not tearing it up. That's not Johnny Bench. Nobody's suggesting he is. He is now playing baseball offensively like a functioning major leaguer.
Functioning.
And if he does that, along with the defense that he supplies, then Brian Cashman, I hate to say it, could turn out to be right that they didn't need to add a catcher at the trade deadline.
Now, interestingly enough, his defense has not been the best over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but his challenges for the most part
I know.
Been so good. And I'm in a new world now. I have to live with this new world. A lot of the way I'm going to judge defense behind the plate.
Challenges?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, he still can't have a couple pass balls like he had the other night.
I'm not excusing it.
Right.
Like, I still think you're looking at the ability to throw guys out at second base. You're looking at blocking balls in the dirt. Pitch framing's a big deal. I get all of that. But challenges, especially when you misuse them. Like, when you misuse a challenge in the second or third inning, trust me, I'm an expert on this for the team I root for, it can really hurt you late in games. And there have been a handful of examples over the last few weeks where Austin Wells whipping out a challenge that changes the game. Here's all you got to admit, because I'm admitting it. Like, this isn't about right or wrong. I got no problem admitting when I'm wrong. Through 3 weeks, I've been wrong about the Yankees needing to add a catcher because Austin Wells has played well enough to be a functioning major league catcher on a contending team.
Yeah, and well, what else has helped Austin Wells is while you give those numbers and use the word functioning, I think that's what you said.
I think that's the word.
I'll go survivable.
Because he's not Johnny Bench. I'm not saying he's Mike Piazza.
But, But you get away with functioning offense from your catching position like that if the rest of the lineup is hitting and the onus isn't so much. Like, Austin Wells stuck out like a sore thumb because five positions on the field weren't hitting.
Right.
Everybody started to hit now. So while Austin Wells may not be Luis Garcia Jr., you look at his numbers and go, that's totally fine. We live with that at the bottom of the order and, you know, get clutch hits late. But as long as everybody else is hitting, sit there at 250 if you have to, and that's fine.
I think in fairness, though, most catchers, even the best of the best, are just going to be functioning. Like, you don't have a lot of A-plus offensive players.
The red-hot Cal Raleigh.
Well, yeah, but look at the way he started the season.
I know.
Like, I think if we're being fair, because even look at Adley Rutschman. Do you know his number since the Red Sox?
They haven't been great.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just reminding you that when I say, hey, Austin Wells is hitting 265, I know it's nothing to write home about. That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you're looking for from the catching position. So through 3 weeks from this trade deadline, I look at the offensive side of things, and I say, okay, Brian Cashman may have gotten this right. He added a nice right-handed bat off the bench who I think will eventually excel when he's in that role, which is starting to happen now. Luis Garcia was a much-needed middle-of-the-bat order that not only puts pressure and protection against Jazz Chisholm, but also gives you just a great bat that you needed that allows Ben Rice to DH.
And they've given Spencer Jones runway.
Yes, which he deserves.
Right.
The second part is where things are going to get complicated on Brian Cashman's trade deadline. And it's the thing that I know you had a tough time comprehending, as did I. Because I pointed out that Brian Cashman has acquired a reliever at every single trade deadline for the last decade. He didn't this year. And the combination of workload questions, which falls at the feet of Brent Hedrick and Paul Blackburn, who escaped that jam yesterday.
What a play.
And now the devastating injury to Fernando Cruz, the man they call, what's Boone's nickname for him?
Cruiser.
The Cruiser. The Cruiser's likely to need Tommy John surgery. Yeah. And as unreliable as he's been over the last few weeks, and as much as he may have been eliminated from the circle of trust, the Yankee bullpen depth is being questioned. So as we sit here 3 weeks after the trade deadline, I'll wax poetic about Luis Garcia and even say, hey, maybe we were wrong about catcher. But despite how well the bullpen has mostly been, you have to look at this bullpen and say, damn, that's the part of the deadline where he may have missed the boat.
That's why you can't give the deadline grade anything over a C+. Because it could be that massive a hole. Because, Evan, look, we had those arguments, and in the end, you were right. Mason Miller never got moved, right? And you look at the big names, like, no big name truly got moved in the bullpen. But the difference, and you had done the research on how many times Brian Cashman at least had traded for a reliever.
Every year.
Every year.
That's what my research told me. Essentially, every year since 2018, Brian Cashman, besides the sell-off year, but even in the sell-off year, they acquired a reliever, they always add some major league on to their bullpen.
And what gets lost in the sauce, I think, a little bit is this would have been the perfect year to add the Mark Leiter type like they added a couple years ago, which means you're not adding a guy to deadline that you think, hey, when you get to October, this is your eighth inning guy, but a functioning enough reliever that you don't need to go to Hedrick on back-to-back nights or every other night just to alleviate some of this to build back up for the postseason. And they've left him high and dry. And frankly, the other part of this with Fernando Cruz and why it has bigger egg on the face of Brian Cashman is this. Fernando Cruz having this slight tear in the UCL and now finding out, like, okay, we're not going to have him. He had really not been himself since May.
No,
and,
he hasn't.
And every time he came out and you took the mound, he would have his moment and then you'd have one spit-up moment. And you go, what? This isn't the same Fernando Cruz. Same had happened with Tim Hill a little bit. And I just find it ironic, again, that we are here on another Yankee season where you could point to another player struggling for the better part of a year and go, nobody picked up on this guy, might have been hurt. Through his struggles, it was Volpe last year.
If I had to predict with Fernando Cruz, this is an older guy when it comes to baseball. He now had a major league job. I bet you he knew he was hurt and he was pitching through it.
It probably was.
And nothing was going to take him off the field.
But I think that's on the Yankees who now, Evan, you could argue this till the cows come home. They have a recent history in the last 10 years of having guys that underperform and then you come to find out they were hurt.
Yeah.
And you would think, how many times does this have to happen to the Yankees before somebody gets them some testing and figures it out? I can't believe they let Fernando Cruz keep pitching the way he was struggling and the light bulb didn't go off and go, you think this one now too maybe has an injury problem? But the point being, relying on Cruz to this point anyway, even if it wasn't an injury, would have been malpractice. He didn't look like this whale before the deadline.
No, and I think the position the Yankees are in, and Aaron Boone admitted this after the game. So last night, Michael Fulmer pitched for the New York Yankees.
And how about the story with Fulmer?
What a full circle moment with Michael Fulmer.
Do you know the story with traveling?
No.
So they've been telling this on the broadcast last night that he comes, wherever he's going in the minor leagues, he has a layover in LaGuardia. They get the news Fernando Cruz is going on
what
the IL.
What are the odds of that?
They text them while he's on the plane with Wi-Fi and go, don't switch planes at LaGuardia. We're sending a car for you. He just so happened to be having a layover at LaGuardia to get him to Yankee Stadium.
And he needed to pitch the eighth inning.
And he needed to pitch the eighth inning.
And Aaron Boone said after the game, no matter what the score was, he was pitching the eighth inning. And one of the reasons why he was going to pitch the eighth inning is they need to find out what they have in him. Yeah. And what Aaron Boone is what he's telling you right now is, hey, we're doing auditions. Like, this is, we're in a pennant race. Yeah, we'd like to win the division, sure. But we need to find out everything we have in this bullpen. Because even though the bullpen numbers are great, I said this to you yesterday, like, the numbers are the numbers. Like, it's been awesome. It still feels like there's a ton of open slots in terms of the circle of trust come playoff time.
But this is the danger if you just blanketly read numbers. Because you could blanketly read Austin Wells' numbers all year and go, well, this guy's not hitting, but for the last month plus, he's hit,
no,
right?
But since the trade deadline, the Yankee bullpen has actually statistically been good.
Correct, but you could see the cracks starting to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
The cracks you see is that, and we talked about this yesterday, Brent Hedrick's pitched a ton. Mm-hmm. Paul Blackburn has pitched a ton.
Yeah.
And I don't think those are two guys also, and this plays a role in it. As great as they've been this year, no disrespect to both of them, they don't have the resumes that give you the confidence that they're just going to continue it.
Now, just to play devil's advocate a little bit with Blackburn, neither did Luke Weaver before he burst the scene. This could just be that next version of it. But also, while they did audition Fulmer, I think the other audition last night might have been, if Elmer Rodriguez has figured out how to get outs on the major league level, he's not starting a playoff game. That last night, pitched into the seventh. He had a great first five, whatever. Elmer Rodriguez, that might have been a big audition for the pen, too, because we kept thinking LaGrange. We kept thinking, and Clark Schmidt still might come, but we know he won't pitch back-to-back days. Luis Gil, we'll see. It might be Elmer Rodriguez of these young starters that emerges as the bullpen arm.
You said something yesterday. I think you're going to turn out to be right. The Yankees are going to be in the playoffs. We don't know if it's straight to the division series or the wild card series or how long it lasts. It is going to be defined by how they get the last nine outs of games. And that may mean pushing your starting pitchers longer. That may mean guys we're not even thinking of. Elmer Rodriguez is a great example. Luis Gil on his way back. They may be the guys getting the biggest outs.
They might be.
But I think what's going to end up defining the Yankees and going to define this 2026 postseason run, whether it's a short run, a long run, or a run that ends in Nick Country as world champions, it's going to be how the hell do they get the last nine outs of games? But the trade deadline? So far, there's some early returns that make you think Cash knew what he was doing.
Yes.
But the questions around the bullpen, they certainly last. Now, I'll get you very excited because when we come back, there is a guy available for free. The Yankees could bring him in tomorrow that Sean wanted at the trade deadline 3 consecutive years. We'll discuss his fit coming up, plus your calls.